I figured I'd print this out for you. I was going to just use it for me, but then I thought, well, all right. Might as well share it. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 30 tonight. We've been looking at the lessons God has to teach us through Genesis. We started back in January, and we're already to chapter 30. Now, that may not seem a lot to you, but I'm pretty amazed since it took us a year and a half to get through Revelation. So to get this far in Genesis in just 6 months is amazing to me. How long were we in the Kings? Good 2 or 3 years in Kings and Chronicles. So we did take a lot of side trips into the prophets, though. You know what? Normally we take praises for a good 10, 15 minutes. We don't have 10 or 15 minutes tonight. We started late and got to worship a little bit longer. So let me just start us off in prayer. I do want you to keep one thing in mind in the forefront of your prayer life. Pray for Jimmy. He's been staying at my house the last couple nights because he wasn't allowed back in his house. Either he went in the last hour or he's going tonight after church to go back and try to talk to his parents. Just pray for him. And also, that our family would be able to, if we need to, be able to have him stay with us. That's not always the easiest thing. So just be in prayer for him, please. Pray that he would be able to work everything out with his folks and be able to go back there. Anyway, without going into more detail of it, let's go ahead and stop now and pray. Lord, we just give you praise. Thank you for so many blessings that we receive from you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for your word that tells us how priceless that gift is. Lord, I lift up Jimmy to you. Pray for his parents, Lord, that they would all three be able to come to a place of understanding and a place of blessing, that, Lord, that you would lead the conversation later tonight, and that you would just fill Adam and Jeannie and Jimmy with love for each other, and work out anything that is any destruction that has taken place, Lord. You are the one who can straighten every crooked path. And so we pray for that, Lord, that you would straighten these roads for them and that they would know your glory and know your blessings. In Christ I pray. Amen.
I know what you're going through, Lord. That was us in our younger days. You know what I named my house? Dufresne House for the Runaways.
Dufresne House of the Runaways. When Miss June died, it was just a natural, of course, Chris, you're going to live with us. You like her son. So looking forward to him coming back next week. But we weren't planning on having a second son this soon. And we just have Chris for the summer, basically, and vacations. So, Chris is a kid that grew up in this church. And he's now at Louisiana Tech. We're really proud of him. He was being raised by his grandmother, and she passed away back in February. By the way, we'll see Chris next Sunday. Okay. All right. God's provision for the honest man. We have been talking over the last few weeks about Jacob. And talking about his name means he grasped the heel, which is deceiver, basically. And we've seen in Jacob's life this life of deception. And in the life of his family. His mother was a great deceiver. And so I have just down here for background, he was full of deception in his younger days. By the way, he's probably about 76 years old when he goes to Padan Aram and meets Rachel. So sometimes when you look through this, you think he might have been in his 20s or whatever. No. I spent a few hours the other day. Why I spent so much time, I'm not sure. But I just was consumed with having to figure out how old he is at this point. And best I can figure, probably around 76 when he actually meets Rachel, which means he's then 83 when they get married and start having children. And he's about 96 when he finally leaves to go back home, okay, and meets up with his brother Esau. So that could be why, one of the reasons why he and Esau didn't have much trouble together. They were much older by that point. And the wrath of a 40-year-old turned into the acceptance of a 96-year-old when he finally meets up with him again. Anyway, all right, so Jacob was full of deception in his younger days, which is a relative term when you're 76 or 96 at this point. He stole the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau. He lied and deceived his ailing father to do this. He's recognized by his uncle Laban to be of the same type of cloth. It's an interesting thing in Genesis 29. We find in verses 13 and 14, as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his home. And there Jacob told him all about these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." And again, last week we talked about how this is a very similar in the Hebrew to the statement that Adam makes about Eve. "You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And so it's believed that Laban is not just saying, "Hey, here, you're my nephew. But man, you're cut from the same cloth as me." Laban, this great deceiver, Jacob, was cut from the same cloth. They were of the same flesh in that sense. Now, we talked about how he worked for 14 years for his wives. He only wanted one wife, but he winds up with two because of the deception of Laban. Remember, and there was Leah when he woke up the morning after his marriage that he thought to Rachel. And he finds Leah in his tent instead, goes to Laban and said, "What's going on?" And Laban says, "Oh, you know, you may have this custom where the youngest gets to go first where you're from, but here the oldest gets married off first." And so he works another 7 years for Rachel. And so in the end, he winds up with two wives. At the same time, both wives come into the marriage with a maid. And so then you read the dysfunction of this family and the deception of the entire family, the wives included, in Genesis chapter 29, starting in verse 31, going through verse 24, and you find out how Jacob wound up with so many children. Leah, at first, is able to give him children. God, it says, blesses Leah because she's not loved by Jacob. And so she gets the first children. She gets four in a row. Then when she can't have any more, or around the same time, Rachel's getting very upset because she's not having any children. So Rachel says, "Hey, take my maid." And so he has a child with her, and then it goes back and forth. And in the end, Rachel finally has a child, and that child's Joseph. And so at the end of this period of time, by the time he's 96, the end of 20 years of working for his father-in-law, he's got 11 sons and one daughter, Dinah. Later, he has another son, Benjamin, when Rachel passes away, between 96 years old and 107, as far as I can figure out. And then we don't know, but he has more daughters, it seems, from a passage later on. But we know at least 11 sons at this point. And these sons are going to be 11 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's name is going to be changed to Israel later. So his wives seem to have the same scheming streak that Jacob and Laban have shown, and you can read through. One of my favorite parts in all of Scripture to show dysfunctional families is when, you got to go back to chapter 30 and look in verse 14. Chapter 30, verse 14. "During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants." Anybody know what a mandrake is? Louis, do you know what a mandrake is? Okay. So, anyway, "find some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, 'Please give me some of your son's mandrakes.' But she said to her, 'Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?'" I mean, is this a drama-filled family or what? They could have their own TV show. "So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him." Oh, excuse me, I jumped here. "Very well," Rachel said, "he can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I've hired you with my son's mandrakes." Must be some good fruit.
I just love the fact that all through all this time, everybody keeps giving everybody else each service. I sleep with
my son. Yeah, that's right.
Hey.
Yep.
Stunt double.
Well, we saw that started with Sarah, remember? Abraham's wife. It was a common thing at the time. I'm sure. You know, it's still comical, though. You know, I mean, it would really make, it would make a TV show that would be well watched, I think, to see this play out. All right, so we see all this deception in Jacob's past. And when I read this chapter, and let's go ahead and start in verse chapter 30, verse 25, and read through here. "After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I've served you and will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you.' But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you.' He added, 'Name your wages and I'll pay them.' Jacob said to him, 'You know how I've worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household?' 'What shall I give you?' he asked. 'Don't give me anything,' Jacob replied, 'but if you will do this one thing for me, I'll go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future, whenever you check on the wages you have paid me.'" Let me stop right there. Isn't that a crazy statement out of his mouth? What's his name mean? He deceives, or the deceiver, right? "My honesty will testify for me." How far he's come to be able to state, "Look, my integrity will be my bond with you." And that just jumps out at me. Whenever I read through this, it just hits me. Wait a minute, this is Jacob we're talking about. Okay, in verse 33 again. "And my honesty will testify for me in the future, whenever you check on the wages you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that's not speckled or spotted, any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen." "Agreed," said Laban. "Let it be as you have said." That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Let me stop here for a second. You know, an interesting thing is Laban's name actually means white. Just throw out there. And he's stripping the bark to expose the white.
I got the answer on the mandrake too. Sorry.
Oh, what's the mandrake saying?
The mandrake root back in that time was had a reputation of enhancing fertility.
Okay. I'll give you the thing to enhance your fertility if you give me the person that will make me fertile.
Right.
That's an interesting thing.
It's also hallucinogenic.
Just that definition, like, okay.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. All right, back in verse 38. "He placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so that they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to his own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys." Let me just stop here and say, I have a degree in biology, I can tell you right now that placing different colored things in front of animals that are mating does not change their DNA and will not affect their coloring. But he comes up with this idea. It was probably some old wives' tale, old shepherd's tale.
I'm going to say it's an old folk tale.
Right? Absolutely. And so he's going to go ahead and do this. But what's interesting to me is it works. Chapter 31, verse 1. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. Doesn't say how, but you can imagine Laban might have come back and said, oh, you know what, if they're streaked, then you can have them. No, if they're spotted, you can have them, and changed them in that way. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow once to me, where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah replied, do we have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he's used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children, so do whatever God has told you. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, and crossing the river, he headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream that night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? Anybody in here believe that?
Yeah, right.
Okay. You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You've done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me, and if so, take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period. So he searched but could not find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. What is my crime? He asked Laban. What sin have I committed that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I've been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen, by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime, and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you surely would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. Okay, we'll stop there. Jacob, this deceiver, lives by deception. He's got a family of deceivers all around him. And yet, it's remarkable to me, Jacob is ready now to be known as a man of integrity. We see this a few times. We see him speak of his honesty. He tells Laban, look, here's how we're going to set it up. You give me the rejects. That's basically what he's saying. Okay? Because goats are usually all black. Sheep are usually all white. If they're not, they're the rejects. They're not the best of the flock. And so you give me the ones that don't come out right. You give me the ones that are spotted or streaked or whatever they decided to do. Okay? And I'll take those. And I guess he's got in his mind, yeah, I got a plan here. I'm going to get more spotted and streaked ones by putting this almond branch in front of them. We'll see if it works. But God went ahead and used that plan. I don't know. It might have been God's plan to begin with. He doesn't really say the time period. He just says, one time I was out with the flocks and God gave me this dream. We don't know whether that's before or after. Okay? But we do know that Jacob tells Laban, you can check on me. I'm going to be honest with you. Let my honesty be the guide. And so one of the first things that jumps out at me is, isn't it amazing how God can change your character? Isn't it amazing? This is the same Jacob that when he shows up at the well, and last week we looked at the difference between when Abraham's servant shows up probably at the same well. We don't know for sure, but it makes sense. When Abraham's servant went there, Abraham's servant the whole time was just praising God, asking God to show him what to do. Jacob just shows up. And in both cases, God had already orchestrated the events. Abraham's servant praising God when everything is orchestrated, Jacob doesn't even acknowledge it. Jacob shows up, he takes things in his own hand. Hey, I'm going to roll back this stone, I'm going to do all this. Not supposed to, but he's going to take it in his own hand. So we never saw in Jacob this godly man that's following the Lord the way that he saw in his father and grandfather before him. We saw somebody out there that God approached. He has this dream. He sees the angels going up and down the stairway. And God came to him. And so it's amazing to me, and I think of my own life and I think of others, it doesn't matter whether you felt that you were searching out God and trying to live right your whole life, or whether, like me, God just showed up. But he can take and he can transform you. He can change you from someone who is known as a deceiver. Your name is deception. How'd you like to go through life with the name deceiver? I once pulled one of the professors on the side at seminary because I'm reading through scripture and this name meant that and this name means that. I just pulled my side. I said, you know, I read this. What does that mean? Does that mean that you would walk up to the person and say, deceiver, how are you doing today? And he said, yeah. It's the same as if somebody is named May or June. I mean, what is that name? It's the month, right? But it takes on a new meaning for that person. But it's still that word. It'd be like if you named your kid, you know,
which means demon.
Anyway, throwing me off there. But yeah, the same thing. You know, I mean, these words actually mean those things in language. So Jacob is known. His name is he deceives. He grasps at the heel. That is his actual name. It's kind of like, you know, the American Indian names, running water or something like that, you know. He runs with bulls. Well, he deceives is this guy's name. And yet he's able to stand up and he says, you know, you can go ahead and check. My honesty, ahead of time, saying, my honesty will speak for me. Over the next 6 years, if I haven't shown you in the last 14 years that I'm a different person, I'm not a deceiver anymore, the next 6 years you can go ahead and check yourself. And then at the end of that time, he sneaks out. Yeah, he deceives Laban. I would argue he had to sneak out. I mean, Laban gets all his men together and chases him down. What's he going to do when he catches him? And yet, he even at this point, he stands up to Laban and says, look at me. If you can find anything that I've done. He hurls accusations at Laban. Laban doesn't dodge them at all. Says, I've worked for you 20 years. You cheated me. I did this. I did that. I'm out there in the cold. I'm out there in the heat. You know, you notice Laban never defended himself for any of this stuff. He didn't say, oh, it wasn't that bad. You're making this up. No. You're right. You changed my wages 10 times. He doesn't say, well, no. He didn't say a word about that, does he? How awesome is it that Jacob's able to stand up and basically said, look, I'm clean. My hands are clean in this matter. You are the one who has been deceiving. I have not. I've been honest with you. I have worked hard. The deceiver is counting on his honesty. Oh, absolutely. You know, another interesting thing, Rachel is sitting on them, right?
Yeah.
She is saying that she's on her period.
So pick it up.
So think about this. The gods are being sat on by a woman who is unclean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that would have been...
God Almighty is allowing this to happen,
yeah.
Proving a point to everyone here. Who is the real God here?
Yeah.
Those gods that you stole from your father's house are so great, you said you're unclean and you sat on them. I love the way the Lord works these things out. So, on the first side of the page here, go down near the bottom, the third to the last paragraph there. But Jacob does have a trick up his sleeve. Okay, so he had gone to Laban and said, listen, here's my wages. You just give me the rejects. And he has this big trick up his sleeve. He's going to, you know, we went through that. But the interesting thing here is the Lord shows Jacob that he was actually the one doing it. If you look at chapter 31 again, verses 10 through 12, it says that the Lord had come to him. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I love that. In my mind, it's going like this. Jacob, that was the most ridiculous idea anybody's ever done. And I blessed it anyway. Because I love you. And I have seen the misery you've been going through. And I made it work. You didn't come up with some great idea. I did it. Absolutely. Go ahead.
The 44,000, 144,000. But they were deceivers. They lied to their father. They tried to kill Joseph. And yet God used them.
It's amazing. That's right. The 12 tribes, and they weren't worthy of any of it. Right.
And I read this.
Come on in.
How in the world did God choose these people to be representatives?
Well, it just shows you that nobody can earn that position with God. So The last paragraph here, in fact, the Lord is leading this whole situation. Jacob, we find, if left to Laban's ability and devices, would have been destitute, dependent on Laban for everything. But God manipulated this situation behind the scenes to make Jacob into a great and prosperous nation. Why? Because he told Jacob that he would be a great and prosperous nation. Why? Because he told Isaac that. Why? Because he told Abraham that. This was a plan that God had put into place a long time before. All right, so what are the signs of God's handiwork on the back of this page here? Signs of God's handiwork. God working behind the scenes, even though Jacob wasn't acknowledging it at the time. God arranges for Jacob to meet Rachel at the well. He calls Laban to be blessed. Think about that. Under Jacob's control, over those 14 years he's working for Laban, Laban says, I found out by divination. Basically, I figured out that I'm being blessed by God because of what you've done. And the daughters say that Laban had been blessed and then frittered away all that had been given to him as the bride price, which was the hard work of Jacob. Okay, so evidently, Laban really was blessed. Why would God do that? Why would God bless Jacob's ability to raise Laban's sheep? Well, it seems so that all of this would be set up so that then God could transfer that blessing from Laban to Jacob so that he's prepared when he leaves. He's basically a nation unto himself. He's got 11 sons, soon to be 12, and all the material wealth he needs so that he's like Abraham was two generations earlier, where he can take on whole nations. In fact, we find later in deception, his sons go ahead and take over the city of Shechem, which is unreal the way that happens later. But the point being that God said he would make him into a nation, and he does, and he prospers him. God causes an increase in the speckled, streaked, spotted animals in order to make Jacob prosperous. He gives him 11 sons through the scheming of Laban and the two wives. It says that he shut Rachel's womb and then that he opens Rachel's womb. I mean, this is God doing this. The mandrakes didn't do it. They might have eaten them for fertility, but it was God who did this. God was in control. Oh, they are? Oh, well, I bet they really enjoyed that. Wow, we're not even going there. All right. God is the one that caused Laban and his sons to change their attitude against Jacob so that when God speaks to Jacob, he's ready to leave. God doesn't want him staying there. Think of this. Jacob is getting so prosperous, he might start to think, hey, I can just stay here. Laban's not going to live forever. But that wasn't the promise, was it? The promise was that you will get the land of Canaan. You have to go back. You can't stay there. And then finally protected Jacob from Laban. So as the teenagers are in the hallway, take home message. As Gideon is enough for the hallway. That's my youngest. First of all, our integrity and our honesty need to be our witness. And what I take great pride in, great solace in, I guess, however you would say it, great joy in, is that our past and our family is not what defines us. It doesn't have to be. I know that I was the son of a deceiver. I was a deceiver. I never knew anything honest to come out of my dad's mouth. I didn't even know my dad's age until I stood over his tombstone. I remember standing over his tombstone going, ha, Dad, now I know how old you are. Because up until then, he would always lie about his age. Everything. He just lied about everything. And that was me. And then Christ came into my life, and that doesn't have to be me anymore. I'm a new creation. Notice that Laban, I told you about the accusations. The Lord also can work events regardless about the scheming that we do and that others do around us. If we had more time, we could all share times that others tried to harm us, and yet God worked it out. I mentioned to you guys at William Carey just 2 years ago, I found out 6 months after the fact that my boss at the New Orleans campus was trying to fire me, was calling Hattiesburg, trying to find out my contract, trying to find out any loophole to get rid of me. I had no idea. And I didn't find out until all of a sudden that person got a job at LSU, was gone, and then later the person who was directly over me came to me a few months later and said, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but she was trying to get rid of you. I had no idea. Lord just took care of it. Doesn't matter what somebody else is doing, scheming. God is the one that is in control. And, you know, here are some of the schemes. You know, using maids as surrogate child bearers, buying a night of sex with your husband for mandrakes, using strip bark to determine the offspring of goats and sheep. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous stuff. And yet God used all of it for his own purposes. And no matter how much others change, the Lord is still the same God. And his promises still carry the same weight. I want to end by reading what God says to Jacob again. In chapter 31, verse 13, he says, I am the God of Bethel. Why would he say, I'm the God of Bethel? Because that was the place Jacob first met God. That was the place that he had the vision, the dream of the stairway of angels coming up and down, and that was the place God spoke to him. And here's what God said to him when he spoke to him at Bethel. He says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. So when he appears to him and he's in Laban's household and he's working and Laban is cheating him and Laban is doing all this stuff to him, he appears to him again in a dream and he said to him, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back. Why? Because I'm the same God that talked to you then. I'm the same God that made those promises. And it's going to be kept. What a wonderful thing about our salvation. This is, you know, so many people have so many reasons that they talk about losing your salvation or not losing your salvation. We're Baptists and we believe in the security of the believer. I tell you what, to me, it's just an obvious thing when you go through Scripture. If God promised something, it's a promise he keeps. And God promised that he gave his son, and that all who believe on him shall be saved. That's the name. And that I know, I believe on that name. And my salvation is secure. Not because of what I've done, but because his character doesn't change. The Paul Washer. Yeah, me too. And what can he rest in? He can rest in the promise of God. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You do not change. You are the great I am. You are the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. You are the God of Jacob, Israel, Lord, and you gave him your promise, and you fulfilled it. Lord, thank you. I pray that we would rest in you, all of our hopes and all of our dreams, all of the promises we would find in you. In Christ I pray. Amen.